the book of Mark, chapter number 1. I want to say we're so thankful for every guest that we have tonight. I may not have your name, but we are very deeply appreciative of your being in the house of the Lord. It's good to see Gary. Gary was baptized this morning in Jesus' name. Praise God. And when he came up out of the water, he was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Hallelujah. Beautiful. And Gary, there's a whole lot more where that come from. A whole lot more. And he's in the business of just filling people up all the time. All the time. All the time. Amen. We're so happy for everyone that is here. It's good to have Sean with us. God bless Sean. He's here. Sean works at the school district, and we have an in-house joke that everybody needs to work for the school district. Praise God. So anyway, that's an in-house joke, but we're glad you're here. And I know we said it this morning, but say it again. So good to see Dave and Debbie. God bless them so very, very, very much. Praise God for all of you that have come in since Dave and Debbie moved away from God's country. I want you to know that these are wonderful, wonderful people. And we love them very, very, very much. Praise God. Praise God. And I know some of you are scratching your head and saying, God's country. But anyway, that's fine. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's country is wherever God is. Trust me. Amen. All right. I'm going to read to you from the book of Mark, chapter number 1. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 40. Verse number 40. Mark chapter 1, verse number 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Hallelujah. Let's pray together right now that the Lord would bless his word in this service. Lord Jesus, we commit this service, this word, these moments into your hands. Lord God, your spirit must move. Without it, in your word, we are less than nothing. But through you, we can do all things. Lord God, speak grace and truth and peace and shed light to every heart of every soul that's gathered here in your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you so much. You may be seated. The Apostle John, in his gracious narrative, at the conclusion of that great, great gospel, tells us that these things that were written so that we might believe, and that if everything were written that should be written, he did not feel like the world itself could contain the books that should be written. With that in mind, we know that God, in His infinite wisdom, has given us that which we need to know. Amen. And He's given us enough of it that we can carry it in one hand. And when you stop and you consider all that God vested in His Word and hopefully in our hearts through the 66 great gracious books, it is amazing. The wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the insight, the health, the healing, the strength, the comfort, and a host of other adjectives, amen, that are given to us, amen, because He loves us. We do ourselves a grave disservice when we do not, amen, familiarize ourselves with this wondrous Word. We do ourselves a grave disservice when we do not familiarize ourselves with the God of that gracious Word, and that God's in this house tonight. Praise the Lord. If everything was written that should have been written, the world, He did not feel, could contain the books. Amen. We know that there are things that popped up throughout the historical narratives of the New Testament church that were not found in the gospel. The very, very famous statement the Apostle Paul making, that as saith the Lord Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You do not find that in the four Gospels. There is no record of him stating that, but it's just a little tiny glimpse into the fact that not all that was written, that should have been written, that could have been written, was necessarily written. But it's there. I'm glad again for what he gave us. And then what he gave us is so succinct and so full of wisdom and power and pathos that if we stop, pause, consider, amen, what it may take a few seconds to read, what is actually unfolded, amen, in the Word of God, you've got to go back in time. You've got to go back in circumstance. It does you well to leave your world and do the best you can possibly to go back into that world and that time and that place. There was a leper that came to him. This was pre-modern medical days. These were days before there were such things as hospitals, such as there was doctors. We read of the woman with the issue of blood that she had for 12 long years. And yet for all of the physicians that she went unto continually for 12 long years, she spent all of her substance. She did not grow better. She grew rather the worse. Amen. We get a little tiny insight that there was not much help proffered in those days from the medical world. A cursory glance of history, amen, and some of the remedies that were offered at those times and places, amen, are bone chilling when you think of some of that being applied to us today, amen. But even in those crude days, there was nowhere for a leper to go. There was no doctor that would touch their case. There was no doctor that would touch a leper. Lepers were in a class all of their own. Amen. It is still a very dreaded disease. There have been advancements made, amen, in recent decades to help, amen, the horrid problems of leprosy. But in those days especially, it was considered absolutely, totally, thoroughly hopeless. When one received the disease of leprosy, and let me stop here and state that it does appear that there were other things that were termed and referred to as leprosy, that in modern day terminology would be called other things than what we know as leprosy. Amen. Certain skin rashes that could be healed with this, that, or the other. Amen. Could be called and termed leprosy. But all of that aside, rest assured that the dread disease of leprosy, for all of its hideous claim on the lives of people, was very, very, very much alive and well as we know it today. Leprosy, amen, is a strange disease. I'm not about to try and give you a great medical exhortation on leprosy. All I know is what I have read. And that one of the main things of true leprosy that this man had, and many of the lepers that Jesus dealt with in the New Testament and that we read of in the Old Testament, amen, these were sad, sad plights. It is stated that leprosy, among other things, amen, is a nerve disease. And it often showed up in a person's body, amen, whereby either a scab might appear or a pigmentation of skin. It would lose its color and become a white spot somewhere on somebody's person. When this was found, the priests would be called upon to look at it. And they would set them aside in a separate or several house, amen, for 7 days. Then the priest would be called back to check out the individual again. Various rites and rituals would take place, but if it did not get better, then the individual was termed unclean. And those were the saddest words that you could hear in that day and that time. Because to be unclean with leprosy meant that you were forever separated from the community. You were separated from friends. You were separated from family. You were separated from any and all social activities unless it would be something that you and your fellow lepers could find to celebrate, which would be hard-pressed to do. Amen. You were set aside, and you had to remain that way, and you were obligated to let the world know that you were in that condition. If someone was walking your way as you made your way down a country lane, if you saw them off in the distance, you were required by law to begin to holler, amen, unclean, unclean. And immediately they would stop in their tracks. And no doubt many of them would get a cold chill in their bones because they knew they were approaching a leper. What that would cause them to do would be to go out of their way to do whatever they had to do to make sure that they stayed as far away as possible as they could from the unclean leper. Homes were shattered. Lives were shattered. Hearts were broken. You can only imagine. And you could be in that condition. You could still be strong. You could be in otherwise in every way healthy. Amen. You could have all your faculties. Amen. You could have all members of your body. It may, because leprosy worked so different in various people's lives. In some people's lives, it would spread very exceedingly quickly. In other people's lives, it might just remain that spot. It might grow to a little larger spot. There might be a few other spots that would appear, but that might be all there is for months, possibly years, possibly even decades, but it made no difference. You were stuck with the disease of leprosy. When leprosy would take its dreaded course through a person's body, amen, and the blood working as it would and the nerve ends beginning to become deadened, amen, it would create a host of problems because Our nerve ends are very, very valuable things. That's what causes us to get a hold of something, and if it's hot, we let go very, very quickly. Amen. That's what causes us to put on our coats. That's what causes us, amen, to feel water. That sensitivity to pick up, amen, things which bring pain. And that is a great, great, great protection. Can you imagine picking up a hot, hot stove lid, burning hot, possibly even ready to burn flesh, but you couldn't feel it? And you pick it up. And you move it. And what may be smoking was not the lid or the contents under it. It might be your hand. But you never knew because you were deadened and you could no longer feel it. That is the reason that I have seen pictures, amen, of individuals who had leprosy, where they might be missing some fingers. They might be missing toes. They might be missing a foot. They might be missing an ear. They might be missing a nose. Amen. And the bottom line of all of that was that somewhere maybe they sprained their ankle, but they never knew they sprained it. And because they never knew they sprained it, they continued to walk on something that had they been normal, they would have screamed in pain. But they didn't know. And the damage was there. And they continued to walk in a way that all it did was continue to exacerbate the damage, that it grew worse and worse and worse. Or a finger might be cut, an infection set in, and they're oblivious to it. They cannot tell. They did not know until the infection grew so bad, so bad, so bad, it was simply cut off, and they couldn't even feel it, amen, when it was taken off because of the sadness of it. And they would go through those days to where sometimes lepers, their bodies would literally fall apart. Kind of the phrase, come apart at the seams. It would literally happen in their bodies. And it was so dreaded and so sad and so heartbreaking. Amen. This is part of the reason that scripturally, amen, God equated as in type leprosy as a type of sin. Leprosy was not sin, but he used it in type as sin because the problem with sin, among many other things, aside from hurting God, aside from its great possibility of gravely hurting other people, amen, and certainly hurting the person who has committed the sin, part of the problem of the leprosy of sin is that it also deadens. It deadens to where people cannot feel. Maybe that's why the first time somebody does something that's wrong, amen, they feel it. And there is a quickening in their heart and their soul. There is something, amen, that stabs them. There is an acute, sensitive conscience. And when something is wrong and is done wrong, they feel bad. But if you continue to do it, after a while, your spiritual nerve ends become dull. And it doesn't hurt anymore. It's kind of like the analogy that I read of an aged Indian man, that's North American Indian man, who spoke of his understanding, what we would call the human conscience. He said, when I do wrong, it feels like a sharp-edged stone is in my heart that's hard and heavy, but ever so sharp. And when I do wrong, it begins to spin and it cuts my heart. But he said, if I continue to do wrong, it's as if the sharp edges of the stone become rounded off and smoother. And I can feel it spinning, but it doesn't hurt as bad as it used to. The Apostle Paul would refer to that as a seared conscience. And he spoke of people who would, amen, sear their conscience. And when, when something was seared in days of old, say there was a vast cut, amen, or wound, and before the days of understanding about stitching people up, et cetera, and they did this tremendously in the Civil War, and even some, sad to say, in the First World War, but they would take a hot, red hot iron, and they would place it on the cut and sear it and burn it. And that searing, as it would then begin to heal and scab over somehow, amen, most often people died, but sometimes it would burn enough germs, etc. Who knows what all it did, but they would recover from it. But the Apostle Paul talked about people who would sear their conscience with a hot iron. They would commit wrong. They would do wrong. They would know it was wrong. They'd feel so bad, but they'd keep doing it and keep doing it, and so burn their conscience away to where after a while it doesn't hurt anymore. That's why there are people in this world that can absolutely murder human beings with total impunity. It bothers them no more to kill a fellow human than it does for someone to swat a fly. It raises no more compunction in their minds. Amen. And even in our society, we are seeing it go down, amen, ages, to younger and younger and younger and younger individuals. Amen. To where here recently, amen, there was a man who hired a 14-year-old boy to kill his ex-wife. And he did. And he got caught, but doesn't seem to be any real remorse over it. Something has happened. The sin, mind you, of leprosy. The sin, amen. The nerve ends are deadened. Amen. I remember when I was a little boy. Nobody knows just when and where and hows of life things come. But there's some moments in life that you really, for whatever reason, you never ever forget. I did not come from a religious home. Now, I'm not going to give my whole testimony tonight. I'm not. If you're interested and you don't have the book and you're a visitor, be happy to give you the book. And it tells the whole story. But I do remember as a little boy, and we were not a religious family. My mother had not yet married my stepdad, and my real father had done us really dirty in life. But I was going along, and I was in kindergarten, and I'll just never forget this one certain day that I stole a little girl's pack of candy cigarettes. I don't remember ever doing anything like that before in my life, but I did it. And someone told on me and confronted me about it. And then to get out of it, I began to lie quite vociferously, amen, that I did not take that little girl's candy cigarettes. And she cried, and I cried, and the kids accused, and on. And it seemed that I got out of it. But I will never forget that day as I was walking home. And I would take a step, and one foot was in the gutter. And I'd step up on the curb, down in the gutter, and up on the curb, and down in the gutter. And as I would walk that day, there was a heaviness in my heart. There was a pain in my heart. I felt, I do not ever remember prior to that moment feeling like that. And I felt so bad. And I felt so unclean. And I felt so dirty. You may think that I'm overstating the case. Amen. But somehow in my mind, as I go back, I wonder if that was the time and the place that leprosy first really appeared in my life. When it comes to the sin of leprosy, can I tell you, we're all infected. Man is conceived in sin, David said, and shapen in iniquity. The Bible tells us that his days are few, but they are full of trouble. Psalms 55 says, man comes out of his mother's womb speaking lies. Job said he's as likely to get in trouble as the sparks of a fire are to fly upwards. It is simply the case of Adam and Eve, amen, failing in the garden. And as it were, they took the bite of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And you and I, bless our hearts, have been trying to spit out the seeds ever since. I do not personally believe that babies are born lost. I do believe that everybody is born since the fall of man with a propensity to sin. Amen. The disease is there, so to speak. But the Bible also tells us that we're going to be judged by our words. We're going to be judged by our deeds. Amen. That is, our works. Things that we do, things, amen, that we say are going to face us in the judgment. Babies, amen, do not have anything whereby to judge other than this. It's just there. You've got to give it time. And when you give it time, the scripture is fulfilled. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I don't know this. When I get to the glory world by the grace of God, that's when I will know. But I can't help but think that inborn propensity to sin, the leprosy, was there. But that day, the spot appeared. When I took those little candy cigarettes, the spot appeared. The spot grew larger. Amen. When the day was done and the teacher confronted me. And then, amen, the spot began to grow. I was a good boy, per se. Amen. I never gave my mother much trouble. I don't have the answers for this. All I know is when I became to the seventh grade, I became omniscient. Meaning, I knew everything. Or at least I thought I did. And I arrived in the seventh grade, and due to my height, amen, being taller than everybody, whereas that used to bother me, now it didn't bother me anymore. Amen. That meant I was bigger than everybody. And all the guys that had tried to beat me up, amen, various times in my life, that were 3 and 4 and 5 years older than me, but they wouldn't tell people that they beat up somebody that was in the fourth, fifth, sixth grade. They would just say, I beat up a guy that was this tall. Well, now I decided I will fight back, and that vociferously. And so that got started. Can I just tell you that I think the leprosy was there, but it didn't really start kicking into gear. You see, you can have the leprosy, and you can be like Naaman, who was the captain of the Syrian host. Though he was a leper, he still held a very, very high office, amen, in his kingdom. But he was still a leper, amen. You can also become a leper, as did Miriam, the sister of Moses, who was plagued by God manifoldly, manifestly, for the error and the judgment which was meet in the rebellion she harbored in her heart against the leadership of her brother and the leader of God's people, Moses. Be all that as it may, when God smote her, apparently her leprosy was so bad and so instantaneous that already she was decomposing. When Moses looked on his sister Miriam, he cried and begged God for mercy and said, she is as one who has come half, modern day terminology, decomposed from the womb. She looks like a horrid stillbirth. This is a miscarriage. Her body was already the leprosy, so bad, so mangling, so deep. And so God said, if her father had but spit in her days, in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? Set her outside the camp. And at the end of 7 days, she was healed and she was brought back completely. And I'll guarantee you, she was a very appreciative woman. So there can be leprosy that is so bad that it as if someone is decomposed. I have seen him, and you have seen him. Maybe we've been part of that number. Amen. That the sin, the ravages of sin have become so great that it's no longer just a step here and a step there in the gutter. It's lying in the gutter. It can't get up out of the gutter. It's leprosy that is so eaten up and destroyed. Amen. That there is no ability to hold a job. There is no ability to get off a needle. There is no ability to function. There is no ability any longer, because the sin has so, amen, run its rampant, horrid ways, and the decomposition is so great in the body, in the mind, in the soul, in the spirit. But I got a word tonight, amen. There is still a Savior. Hallelujah. There is still a King. There is still a God. There is still a God. There's still a God that loves, and there's still a God that cares, and there's still a God that is able. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I do not know, amen, what happened, but when I got seventh grade, my leprosy took a turn. And it took a turn for the worse. By the time, amen, I somehow made it into my high school days, and I'm not, you read the book, and I'm not, there's none of this, there's none of this. It's sad, it's grotesque, amen, but the skipping school for 2 weeks at a time, the days on end, even in high school, of nothing to eat for 2 or 3 days. My parents wouldn't even see me. Get a dollar bill, and go buy a bottle of Mad Dog 2020, amen, or Santa Fe Tokay, or Thunderbird wine, amen. Just the decomposition from the time my high school year to a year after, from the time of my sophomore year to a year after I graduated, amen. I was stoned or high every single day. Amen. And the things that we did, it was crazy. It was bad. It was insane. I didn't have enough sense when people would see me walking down the hall to say, unclean, unclean, unclean. There'd have been a lot of people a lot better off. Amen. If I could have screened it, and friends, if they could have stayed away from me. Amen. And I wouldn't have offered them the joint and offered them the drugs and offered them this and offered them that. And they'd gone down that road with me. Amen. How sad it was. I didn't know. But there I was. Amen. In such pitiful bad shape. I don't know how bad this leper was. In Mark chapter 1. I don't know how far down he had gone. I don't know, amen, if portions of his body had already begun to fall. I don't know if he was coming apart at the seams, amen. He could have marched his way out of a corporate office, or he could have crawled out of a cave as far as his abilities, amen. But thank God he had enough sense to go to the right one. Hallelujah. My Bible says he came to him, and he didn't just come to him. My Bible says he knelt to him, and my Bible said he cried out to him. My Bible said he besought him. Can I tell you, Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is still the healer. Jesus is still the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And somewhere he'd heard enough, he'd learned enough, he'd garnered enough, he'd seen enough, amen. Maybe he'd heard about the 10 lepers that had been healed. And only one had come back to give him thanks. Something, amen, caused faith to burn in his heart. And he came to him. Hallelujah. And he understood and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Can I tell you something? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's hard to imagine if Jesus, before he started to speak, if that leper would have said, oh, wait up. Before we get this business transacted, there's a few things more I want to do in my leper life. I've got old buddies in my leper life. I want to go have one more party with them. I want to go back to the old haunt. I want to go back to the dreary, sad, dark cave. I want to have a good long talk with the bats. I want to lie down again in the stench that is an excuse for my bed. I cannot imagine anybody doing that. But I have seen individuals say, tomorrow. Pastor, I'll come tomorrow. Pastor, I'll get baptized later. Pastor, I'll repent later. Pastor, I'll seek for the Holy Ghost some other time. No, 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 no. Can I tell you? You get hungry enough. You get hungry enough. You get desperate enough. You start seeing leprosy for what it really is. You start realizing how far it'll really take you. You start catching the revelation of how many things it really will destroy and how bad and deeply it can mar and rip and tear souls and lives and homes and worlds and families. Amen. And there'll be a revelation. There'll be something that comes on that says, I cannot live another day. I cannot live another moment in the condition I'm in. I've got to have help. And have it now. I've got to be set free now. I've got to be changed now. I've got to be made whole now. I've got to be healed now. It's got to happen for me, and it's got to happen right now. You say, but I'm not all that bad. If I was a drunk in the gutter, if I hadn't worked for 10 years, maybe I'd come running tonight. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Leprosy is leprosy. Uncleanness is uncleanness. There must needs be something. I'm sad to say. Amen. And nobody ever presented me this beautiful one God, Jesus name, Holy Ghost message. I never heard it. I never understood it. I told the adult class this morning, amen, in the first session, how I was talking to Brother Connell Friday night. And Brother Connell and I and Brother Wilson and a few others had just put together a booklet. And that's another story. But at any rate, he was telling me how he used to be a drug addict on the streets of New York. And he said, I read your book, Brother Booker, and he said, believe me, I could relate to every single thing you said. He said, my world was so dark, it was so bleak, it was so bad. He said, I was in such darkness, and I knew nothing. I knew nothing about God. And he said, not far from where I lived, there was a neon light sign that said, Jesus saves. He said, Brother Booker, you're not going to believe, but he said, before God, I'm telling you the truth. He said, it was not until I was introduced to this gospel, I was baptized in Jesus' name, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. It was not until then, and I went back to visit my old home, and I saw that neon light sign that said, Jesus saves. He said, until that moment, I never understood. He said, I thought that was the sign of a bank. He said, I thought it was something like Jesus savings and loan. He said, literally, I promise you. He said, I thought it was a bank. He said, that's how great my darkness was that I was in. But I'm going to tell you, one day, Brother Connell, he came to the leper healer. He came to the one that brings you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He came to the one that can heal, can eradicate, can make whole, that can restore, that can put the door back on the hinges, hallelujah, that can put the seams back together, amen, that can bring cohesiveness out of a world that has been shattered when it's hit the walls and heartbreaks of life. I'm glad my God is the same. I'm glad He does not change. I'm glad He still loves. I'm glad He still cares. Hallelujah! Amen. I don't know what all it's going to take anybody. I'll give you a little tiny glimpse of what it took me. But I'm going to tell you how good he was, how merciful he was, how gracious he was when I finally woke up and smelled the coffee. And the night that I fell by my bed and I thought, my world is over. I'll be dead this time tomorrow. I broke every single promise that I'd ever made to God. Amen. We come to the place, I'm ashamed of this. I'm sorry. But started shooting up. Breaking every promise. The insane things we did. Shooting cigarettes out of each other's mouths with 22 pistols and rifles and tin cans off of each other's heads. Amen. Playing Matador. Amen. With cars running across parking lots that's covered with slop from slop fights garnered out of the trash bins behind the supermarkets. Amen. The days, the weeks on end. Amen. The drugs, the wickedness, the vileness. But one night, amen, as I fell by my bed and I realized my world, I was coming apart at the seams. I thought I'd be dead in but a short time. And I cried out and I said, God, I'll do anything in the world if you just get me out of this mess. It was like a leper that was coming to him and saying, Lord, if thou canst make me clean. I'm not preaching long tonight. I am not preaching long tonight. In fact, musicians come. But in spite of that, 650 miles away, a young man who was just as crazy as I was, who was just as wild as I was, who'd been just as insane as I was, 650 miles away, he had found his way to a little church. He'd been baptized in Jesus' name, and God had filled him with the Holy Ghost. And that night, he was praying for me while I was in Pueblo, Colorado, saying, God, I'll do anything in the world if you'll just get me out of here. And the Lord spoke to my buddy, and he said, arise, go get Larry. He is ready now. He drove all night long. He picked me up. Before I got out of town, I blew it again, but I made my way back to Bartlesville, Oklahoma. I went on Easter Sunday, April 2nd, 1972, and a leper, so pitiful, so sad, so wretched, my hair down to here, my pants a bunch of patches sewn together, my feet bare, my shirt tails hanging, my sleeves undone. Amen. I weighed 189 pounds. Which is probably what my left leg weighs now, praise God. And when I came, they looked at that poor, wretched leper. But I came to him. And I kneeled down to him. And I began to beseech him. And I said, as it were, unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The doctors can't make me clean. Let's stand tonight. The counselors can't make me clean. The teachers can't make me clean. The professors couldn't make me clean. Amen. The probation officer couldn't make me clean. My mom and dad couldn't make me clean. The doctors that would even pay my way to college couldn't make me clean. Nobody had the power to do it. But I came to him and I knelt to him and I besought him. And his answer is always the same. He said to that leper, I will be thou cleansed. Can I tell you what it felt like? I wept, I sobbed. He said, I think you carried on a little. I've had people that were there that night, more than one, several that were there that night, that have told me in all their years of Pentecost, they have never to this day seen anybody repent like I repented. I wept, I sobbed, I cried. For an hour and a half, this is just me, I said, God, if thou wilt, make me clean. I'll never forget, the man who was to be my pastor came to me finally. He said, son, how do you feel? I was so down, so low, so heavy. And I said, I don't know. I just don't know. And he said, are you sure God hadn't forgiven you? Maybe you just haven't forgiven yourself. I said, I don't know. And I began to pray again. And this time, I felt something lift off of me. I didn't know anything about anything about anything. And he came back by and he said, what do you think? I had no idea what 1 Corinthians 11 said. None whatsoever. But I pulled my hair out of my face and I said, I think I need a haircut. And this from the guy that the only 6 week period of time from my, actually halfway through my freshman year to a year after I graduated was stoned or drunk every single day. Except for 1 6-week period of time when I was in football. And during that time, I did have a couple of football scholarships offered to me. But I lost them when I got busted for drugs. But also because I refused. I would not get my hair cut under an inch for the coach. And when I did get a cut, when I got cut just to play football, I cried like a baby just getting my hair cut. How stupid. But that's leprosy for you. But now I looked up and I said, I think I need a haircut. And he said, I think you're ready to be baptized. They took me out to a cow pond. We don't have a cow pond. We got a nice warm baptistry. Praise God. But I went to a cow pond in early April. Amen. April 2nd. And the water was cold in Oklahoma. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. I came up out of the water. If I thought I had a load lifted before, I cannot explain to you how clean I felt, how light I felt. Amen. Brother Gary, I'd have got the Holy Ghost right then. And I'd have started speaking in tongues right then. But you know why I didn't? Because I told somebody I've been too bad. I've been too rotten. I've been too bad. God won't give me the Holy Ghost. I've been too awful. He would have given it to me that right then. But I had it lodged in my mind. Well, on April 6th, the following Friday night, amen, I was sitting in the back of the little church there. They were having a fellowship meeting, and old Brother Hobbs was preaching about Jesus, the rock of our salvation. And if anybody in the world ever needed a rock to put under his feet, it was Larry Booker, and I needed the rock of my salvation. And I looked at my buddy Larry, and I said, I'm going to go get the Holy Ghost tonight. I went down there, I knelt, amen, and in just a little while, the Holy Ghost fell on me, and I began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave me the utterance. I got it exactly like they did on the day of Pentecost. Exactly like they did in Acts chapter 10. Exactly like they did in Acts chapter 19. Exactly like they said they would get it in Mark 16 and in Isaiah 28. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever! His answer is still the same. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. I'd like every head to be bowed just for a moment. I don't know where all you are tonight. in our various conditions. There may be somebody here that is as bad as I was, maybe worse. There may be somebody here that you may be like Naaman. You may be captain of a host somewhere. But there may be somebody here like Miriam. You're coming apart at the seams. You've tried everything. You've looked everywhere. And you keep coming up with ashes in your mouth and a heart that's continually broke and empty. He's in this house tonight. You can still come to Him. You can still beseech Him. And He will still say, I will. I will. Hallelujah. This house is full of ex-lepers. I have watched many of you come from your various segments of society and your various worlds of heartache and sorrow and shame. I've had the privilege of baptizing many of you, seeing many, many of you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the first time. Amen. But regardless, we've all got the same story if we're here and we're born again. He said, I will. I'm opening up these altars tonight. I'm opening them up to every man, to every woman, to the thankful and to the needy. If you're here tonight and you want Him to touch you, you want Him to begin to put your life together, you want Him to say, I will! Can I tell you, He will tonight. This altar's open. He'll forgive sin. You can repent of your sin. You can have them washed away in Jesus' name. You can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost tonight. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you face. I don't care how far down you've gone. It doesn't matter. There's a God that loves you. There's a God that's here to help you. There's a God that's here to meet your need. There's a God that's here. He'll take you by the hand. He'll take you by the heart. He'll lead you to green pastures for His name's sake. He loves you, sir. He loves you, ma'am. Come on. There's a good God in this house, and He's here to help you.